broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, James Edwards, live on your radio. James Edwards is an author, a talk show host, an advocate for the sacred cause of liberty, has been for years. His radio program every Saturday evening, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out, award-winning talk radio, to say the least. All about God, family, and country. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm telling you is this. We've got a battle on our hands for the culture of America. And I submit to you that we're experiencing the trouble we are because we're an immoral people and we're reaping the whirlwind for our turning our back on God as a nation and as a society or a culture. And it's, you know what, it's paying reality check for us. You know, we keep God's commandments and he'll protect us and heal our land. And if we don't, then we lose that prophetic promise, biblically speaking. That is the reality check. Last hour, we had the opportunity, myself and James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Sam and James break down the Biden inauguration. A peaceful transfer of power, question mark? That's what people are wondering now. They say Donald's going to, at the last second, you know what, have the military take over. He's going to ride back in on his white horse. I don't see it that way, folks. I just don't. And if it does happen that way, I fear more for our country than I ever have before. We don't want Donald or anybody else using dictatorial military power to force their will or to force accountability. We've had 4 years to peacefully arrest people, to peacefully use the checks and balances to ratchet down the swamp, drain the swamp, and we have not taken advantage of that. And I don't want to see within hours a military mandate. I don't think so, folks. This is a constitutional republic, and the checks and balances don't call for a military mandate, folks. They just don't. So any of you that wish for that, I hate to burst your bubble, but I stand against you. I'd rather have Joe Biden take over than I would the military take over. And right before the pause, Sam and James were discussing the first hour. You know what's going to happen? Facebook bans Trump. Candace Owens sues the fact checkers. That's great news in a way. But I sadly feel like Candace Owens is on a fool's errand. I don't trust the courts. They're the ones that literally have allowed Roe versus Wade murder 60 million babies. And we haven't even been able to stop that. Even when we had control of the White House, the Senate, the House, and the courts. Okay? I mean, come on. Okay, so I look at this and I go, they're coming after us all. However, I do believe that what will happen when the Trump administration ends and the Biden administration starts is that they will have a situation where they will back off a little bit. James Edwards was saying, you know what, they're going to go full force and we're all going to be shut down. I pray James is wrong. He may be right. I'm not saying fact, or I'm not here to argue about it. I'm here to highlight different points of view. And, you know, we don't know what'll happen. We're trying to, you know, look at this and say what's going to happen in the future. Very tough deal. But I submit to you what they'll do is they'll draw a line. They don't want government overreach to the point where we all make them pay in 22 and 2024. What they'll do is they'll draw the line. So the Oath Keepers, for example, have already just been shut down. A few of them are arrested. I'm trying to get a hold of Stuart Rhodes to get a better handle on it from Stuart's point of view, right? I don't want to just hear what the mainstream press says about it. I want to hear Stuart directly because he may say a couple of rogue guys went crazy, or he may, I don't know what he's going to say. I'd like to learn. I want to hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, who used to work quite a bit with Oath Keepers, has gone the other direction and said, hey, let's call for peace. We're encouraging everybody to not go to the Capitol, not go to your 50 state capitals, to, you know, jettison the rhetoric, to ratchet it down, to be very careful and wise, let the peaceful transfer of power happen, and then let's work with local constitutional remedies to solve the problems we face today. Completely different approach, right? I believe they'll draw the line, though, and take down those who they can prove are involved in nefarious activity or those who they think they can prove that. But those who have backed away like us, Liberty Roundtable Live, I simply said we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. I believe they'll draw the line there for now, not forever, but for now, because they'll have to or they'll get caught in this overreach scenario. That's the summary. I know it took a long time to explain, but I really want to highlight this point. James, do you think that's right, or do you think they will come after us all right now?
Sam, I hope you're right. And I have always been a glass is half full type of an activist. And I am still optimistic that one day with God's help and God's grace that his people will stand up and resist tyranny in a way that can be effective without doing anything that will go out and get them martyred, which is, I think, what we're seeing. And that gets back to your question. Those people that were there, I mean, what we're seeing right now. Now, they could choose to ratchet it down after Biden gets in and slowly let it start to taper off. But what we're seeing right now is a hardening of the totalitarianism that we've been faced with for many, many years now. The soft totalitarianism is getting rapidly more hard, if that makes sense. And so what we're seeing is people now who didn't cross the threshold of the Capitol, but were rather just in Washington, D.C. to listen to the president speak. Now, at what point in history did going to hear the sitting president of the United States give a speech in Washington, D.C. qualify one as a domestic terrorist? Well, that's something they're bandying about now. All of these people are domestic terrorists. They're extremists. They're insurgents. They're this, that, and the other. And they are increasingly blurring the line between those who were just there to listen to the president and those who went inside the Capitol. Now, we've seen that. And we've seen a lot of people lose their jobs just because they were there, not because. Now, the people that went into the Capitol, they're all getting arrested. And they're facing some very serious federal charges. And I would not like to be any one of them. But we're seeing a blowback now and a retaliation, a settling of scores from the left against Trump supporters that is really all-encompassing. And as it stands right now, they're going to hit back harder, and it's going to be a wide-reaching thing. I guess the only question is whether or not they'll consider that pushing too far. Or do they believe now, Sam, on the other hand, that, hey, it's a one-party state now. We've always had the media and the courts. But guess what we've got now? We've got the White House. We've got the House of Representatives. And we've got the Senate. What are you going to do about it? And the answer is the people can do nothing. The people can do very little. And if they are completely unrestrained after 4 years of seething under Trump, no, I think they're going to lash out.
All right, now, some are saying that Trump will dance on the grave of the GOP.
Well, you know, if that happened, Sam, that would be one of the silver linings. I mean, the GOP has obviously been effectively false opposition to the Democratic heavyweights for all of my lifetime and then some. The Republican Party has never won a battle. It has never won a battle. Not a significant battle in the culture war. Any small skirmishes they win are quickly overturned in time. And you pick your issue. Conservatives have retreated on it and facilitated the unconditional surrender on that issue. The Republican Party has not proven to be an asset to its base, to conservatives, to Christians. Are they better than the Democratic Party? I mean, that's debatable. I never really thought so, rhetoric notwithstanding. Now, I thought Trump was somewhat different and still do in spite of his failings. But, yeah, if Trump does somehow inadvertently become the cause of the destruction of the Republican Party in a meaningful way, I could take that as a silver lining and be okay.
Let me give you an example of the hypocrisy that we're dealing with here, though. Federal agents arrest a guy by the name of Tim Jonet. His nickname is Baked Alaska. They arrested him in Texas because of his U.S. Capitol breach. Now, they tell you how right-wing this guy is, super Trump supporter, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when you dig into his past, this guy used to be a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Yeah,
his colleagues are saying, hey, this guy just simply is an analytics guy. He finds out he has a good nose for analytics. He uses analytics to know where the country's at and what to focus on for attention. And so it isn't about Bernie or Donald or anybody else. He just follows it. Okay, that's a guy they're saying is a Trump supporter that got kind of crazy at the Capitol. Now, John Earl Sullivan, another guy from Utah, similar story, involved with Black Lives Matter and everything else. They say this guy was a serious Trump supporter. But it turns out now he was released conditionally, they say, without bail. So you go, what on earth is going on here? And then you go, there's a migrant caravan in Guatemala that pushes through border of Honduras headed to the United States, swarms of illegal immigrants approaching our border. We'll get to that in a second. But I submit to you that it's about these fault lines. And eventually what they'll do is back away from these fault lines. And eventually, James, it will be the Christians versus the non-Christians. And eventually it's going to come down to, James, will you deny the Christ?
Yeah, that, you know what, Sam? That has been the fault lines and the battle really since the beginning of time, and it hasn't changed here. The names have changed, but at the core of it, all the players are the same. And you are so exactly right about that. And really, what is to come, and it could very easily get to that point. You know, we think that because all of these horrors of the murdering of Christians, you know, that happened throughout history and really up until the 20th century. I mean, we saw that happening in communist Russia, Bolshevik Russia. It can't happen here because America is this magical place where all of the ills of history cannot be visited. Well, the freedom of speech really doesn't exist anymore, because you can already be fired for supporting the president. You can be fired for saying things that don't go along.
You can be fined. Exactly. You can be shut down. You can be everything else under the sun. We'll come back and talk about it. Then I want to lead that into the border discussion. But I, Sam Bushman, will not deny the Christ.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and Sam Bushman breaking it down just for you live on our inauguration day. Will the peaceful transfer of power happen? At this point, I pray the answer is yes. Donald Trump had 4 years to arrest the criminals, drain the swamp. Didn't happen. And I certainly don't want to see a military event force that reality check now. But I, Sam Bushman, will not deny the Christ. And I think they're using all these fault lines to destroy America, left, right, male, female, all these fault lines, race, everything else. Eventually, they don't care. The real fault line will be, will you deny the Christ? Will you stand with Jesus Christ and take a world biblical view? Because if you do, then you stand for gender, male and female, created to them. If you do, you stand against the gay and lesbian lifestyle. If you do, you stand for, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of peaceful assembly. If you do, you stand for, and I can go on and on and on, the Ten Commandments. If you and what I'm telling you is eventually that's their real goal. Because if we can keep our tie to Jesus Christ, our godly heritage, to our God, then that makes us unique as a nation. And if they obliterate that, then we have nothing unique, nothing that makes America great over any other nation. If we don't have that moral compass, that guide of the Ten Commandments, that standard of truth that government's not the king, not the top entity, that there's somebody above government, that is Almighty God, the author of our rights, see? If you believe in self-defense, and if you believe, okay, it goes on and on. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the Ten Amendments. Look at the Bill of Rights. Look at the Declaration of Independence. If you believe we the people are sovereign, that all comes from this God view that God's above government and we're the children of Almighty God. And they have got to jettison that as the final straw to destroy America so that they can create their global tyranny, James. That's really where they're headed. You can call me a conspiracy nut if you want, but I maintain the real litmus test, the real fault line will be the believers versus the non-believers. That's where they're headed, because without that, they cannot achieve their goal.
Now, of course, I agree with you, Sam. And again, what we were talking about before the break was, of course, that's always been the dividing line between amongst humans and since the beginning of time when God created this world and, God created man. That has always been the battle of good versus evil. The players change, the names change, but the ultimate distinction is still the same. And I think there is no doubt about it that you have here about to take control of this country, not just a government that's going to be indifferent to Christianity, but one that will outright persecute it. And I have said, too, though, that perhaps persecution is what our people need to make them tougher. Those of us who have been out doing this publicly as dissidents have certainly suffered to an extent relative to that of Joe Sixpack or the average Trump voter. But suffering brings the people together. Suffering toughens men. And there's actually something. I know you've got a lot to sort through, Sam, but I'd like to read one thing very quickly. You tell us where on this cycle you believe we are.
Yeah,
here
please
as we
do.
Sit today here in America. So a quote came to my mind this week that has been attributed to Alexander Fraser Tytler. Now, he was a Scotsman who lived over two centuries ago. He was a judge in Scotland in the 1700s, 1800, early 1800s. And he wrote this: "A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that the voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate who promises the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations have always progressed through the following sequence or cycle: from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage."
And I think we are between the apathy and the dependence stage right now. The Democrats are pushing for the dependence even greater. They're talking about a universal basic income. The Republicans say, well, we're not really for socialism or the dependence stage, but in the crisis, we've got to. So they're deceiving themselves. As you mentioned, they never hold the line and stand for anything real. So they're, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years behind, or you might say they're socialism light, where the Republicans are socialism light. The Democrats are a little more hardcore about their, quote, communist agenda. But I think we're between the those two stages.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, being fair, people would, of course, rush. We're in the bondage stage. But what's good about this is it is a cycle, according to this, I guess you could say, philosopher. And the cycle does go back. It does flip back.
Now, let's talk about the first points of the cycle really quick. So you go into bondage. Let's say that we're between the stages that I'm mentioning, the dependence stage, the apathy stage, we're somewhere there, right? And I think it's not, as a society, you could say where we are. Individuals obviously are at different spots. Families are at different spots within this stage, right? Nevertheless, what's the beginning portions of the stage? What I'd like to do is jettison the dependence slash tyranny stage and see if we can't cycle back to the stage that brings countries together again. What are the first stages again?
Yes. I'll read it through with a little bit of added description. So you've got bondage, during which people oppose the conditions. Then you've got faith, where people search for deep moral gatherings, which leads to courage.
And believe it or not, I think that we're a lot along that stage. And I'll tell you the difference between now and other eras in history. There is still a lot of people in America that believe in Christ. Okay, and Christ will come again. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ will return. So I think that this time, it's a little different than other times. You know, back in the day, they said, can we find 10 people? Wasn't this Lot? You know, can we find 10 people or whatever? Who can we find? And it was in Lot's era, and they couldn't find anybody. Now, though, there's literally still millions of Christians who believe in Christ and who are doing their best to follow him. So I think that we're a little bit in the dependent slash apathetic stage, heading to the tyrannical stage. But I believe the tyranny folks overreach all the time, and I believe we're a little bit in the faith hope stage right now, James, as well.
Well, like you said, I mean, perhaps you can short circuit the cycle and just go straight across, but you are right. I mean, we have seen this throughout history as well. I mean, history is a great teacher, and history does repeat itself. The cycle of civilizations does repeat itself. It doesn't mean that you always have to follow it step by step, but the idea that an all-powerful government can overstep to such an extent that it just collapses, I mean, we certainly saw it in the Soviet Union. We've seen it elsewhere. It doesn't last forever. The bad times never last forever. The good times never last forever, because you do get complacent. You do get fat.
And let me tell you why those stages are a little bit mixed up, James, in this case. And this is why this time is a little different than any other. We don't have a democracy. Okay. I know people want to use that word, and I know we want to put us in that realm and everything else, but it's a lie. We have a constitutional republic. And what does that mean? It means we have the framework to change the cycle without going into tyranny. If Americans had enough faith and hope, what's the next stage after that?
From courage, you go to people.
No, you go from faith to what? Courage?
From faith to courage, from courage to liberty.
So stop. So we have a lot of people that are courageous. In fact, we've got shirts for the Loving Liberty Radio Network, which I'm heavily involved with. They've got shirts called Courage is Contagious. All right. And so
I've used that very line.
We're a little bit in the faith and courage phase, while they claim that many are in the apathetic slash, you know, dependent tyrannical stage. A lot of us Christians are taking courage. We're trusting in God. We're becoming more faithful. And so the point that I'm getting at is we don't have a democracy this time. We have a constitutional republic. And you say, well, that doesn't matter. They're just words, Sam. And I say it does matter. Because how many nations before have codified in their very center that government is not in charge? We, the people, under God, are in charge. And government derives its power from the consent of the governed. And that there are fundamental principles that government shall not breach. Now, I know they're breaching them big time, but we have the seeds for solutions that others have never had before. That is the ability to worship God, to pray, to, okay, we've got a lot of these principles baked into our constitutional republic. It's the rule of law that matters. It's the morality in the people that matters. And we have a promise by God, biblically speaking, in this covenant land in which we live. This is a prophesied event, ladies and gentlemen, from the beginnings of the world until now, that, you know what, there will be a people prepared to receive their Savior, their King, when he returns. It is different than other times historically, and I submit to you that the stages that are highlighted in a democracy don't completely apply. And they don't because of this winding up scene as we prepare for the Savior Jesus Christ. I happen to be one of the believers that the United States of America was created under the direction of God by wise men, raised up for that purpose, designed to create a nation that will worship the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and will be in preparation for finding those who are the elect in heart, who will prepare people for the Savior to return, and we would be the people to meet him. A very different take. Let's get James's response in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
For the inauguration ceremonies, approximately 191,500 U.S. flags were placed on the National Mall to represent the Americans who were unable to travel to Washington. At noon, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. President Trump granted clemency to former White House aide Steve Bannon as part of his final day pardons, but did not pardon himself, members of his family, or lawyer Rudy Giuliani. In comparison, Trump has issued roughly 150 pardons. President Obama issued over 1,900 pardons. Officials have suspended a search for a California boy who was swept into the Pacific Ocean on Monday at a beach in San Mateo County, California. 12-year-old Arane Pruthi was at Caldwell Ranch State Beach, about 30 miles south of San Francisco. The high waves pushed his father and 8-year-old brother to shore, but Arane was pulled out to sea. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Day one is here. USA Radio News' Jeremy Scott explains.
The president-elect reportedly plans to sign several executive orders in his first 10 days in office. According to a memo from his chief of staff, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina addressed some of those moves on Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures.
If the first thing he does is go back into the Paris Climate Accords, that's a disaster for the U.S. economy. The accords basically give China and India a pass on their carbon emissions. And how do you enforce a national mask mandate? So if that's what he's going to lead off with, he's going to have a tough rollout of his presidency.
President-elect Biden is also expected to sign executive orders to end the travel ban on predominantly Muslim countries, halting evictions and student loan payments during the pandemic, reopening schools and businesses, and immediate economic relief to working families. The memo also states Biden will take action to address climate change and expand access to health care. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, breaking it down just for you. So James was highlighting the steps to a democracy eventually it leads to dependence and tyranny, and eventually cycles back to faith and hope and courage, and then liberty. And I submit to you those steps are a little mixed up because we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. All the difference in the world. And I believe this nation was designed and uniquely positioned by God Almighty as a base of operations, if you will, to usher in the return of the Savior, Jesus Christ. James?
Well, we all know the famous quote from Ben Franklin, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it." I don't think Ben Franklin or the Founding Fathers in their wildest dreams could have ever, in their worst nightmares, could have envisioned, number one, all of the degeneracy that America in a relatively short amount of time would come to accept and normalize, nor could they have foreseen just how irresponsible and intellectually lazy and apathetic that the citizens would have become. Because back then at that time, at the time of the American Revolution and the American independence, you had people who were involved citizens. They were involved. They cared. They fought. They prayed to God. And yes, you do have Christians here still in this country, but you also have a lot of cowards. And we've all seen the Mark Dice videos. You have people ill-equipped to be the stewards and the custodians of this gift that the founders gave us. And yes, it is true that courage is contagious, but then again, so is cowardice, and so is laziness, and so is stupidity. And we've got that. So it's hard to keep something when you have a people that are ill-equipped to do it. But just one more thing about this cycle. And I'll make this very quick. You are right. There are stark differences between a democracy and a constitutional republic. But I think that in many ways, regardless of the form of government, it comes down to the condition of the people. And so in times of bondage, people oppose the conditions. In times they search for faith, they search for morality. That gives them the courage to fight for freedom, which in turn produces liberty and prosperity after freedom is achieved. Then you begin to focus, after you've got that settled, on material things, and you live in abundance, which turns to selfishness. It's all about me and my stuff. Then that you turn to complacency, entitlement, and self-absorption. And then personal responsibility becomes law. So, well, it's not my fault, which leads to apathy. Freedom is centralized and independence is controlled, which leads to the point of no return, when the government achieves complete control and you are dependent upon them to sustain life. And then you enter it back into bondage. And then hopefully people will oppose those conditions at some point in the future. The cycle begins again. So I don't know how much of it is unique to a democracy and how much of it is just a basic part of the human condition. But I tell you, for me right now, I mean, some exceptions notwithstanding, I think we're in the bad part of that cycle and entering into a worse stage yet. But you know what, Sam? This is our Father's world. Nothing surprises him. We're going to do our duty, and we're going to live the way he commands us to live. And we're going to do things legally and do things in a way that would honor him. And, you know, I can live with what happens. And if our eventual freedom doesn't come, if we don't ever see a nation as free as the one we were born into, it may come after our lifetime. 10,000 years is, of course, but the blink of an eye to our Savior.
Amen to that. Let me give you an email that Greg DeRoche sent me. And he's with Family Policy Alliance, okay? And I think he kind of hits on a little bit of what I'm highlighting and getting at, ladies and gentlemen. Inauguration Day, under God, one nation. How many countries that have been through the complete cycle have that as their primary narrative, their primary focus? Today is Inauguration Day. Believe me, it does not escape my notice that many are celebrating, even gleeful. Today, still others are mourning, perhaps even depressed. I am neither of those things, Greg says, but I am resolved to strive to meet three things, and I would like you to join me in doing so today. I am resolved to be hopeful, not because of who sits in the White House, but because of who sits in heaven. All governing bodies on earth are subject to heaven. Our God is the governing authority, and I don't place my hope in any leader or authority on earth. What's more, God's light usually shines brightest in the darkest places. I am resolved to be faithful. So his first one is hope. His second one is faith. I resolve to be faithful. I think often of the book of Daniel. The people who know their God will stand firm and take action. Daniel did. Today, this means that I must be obedient to my government authorities unless they forbid me to worship the Lord. Faithfulness compels us to speak light and truth in both administrations. At the end of the day, I'd rather be found faithful in the lion's den than faithless and purposeless. I am resolved, third, to be prayerful. So faith, hope, and prayer are his three things. God's word demands us to pray for those who have governing authority over us. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute us. I will also pray for President Trump and President Biden. And I will pray for a peaceful transition of power between presidents that we had had in America. We know our Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under God. Would like to refocus that point, he says. It's time to emphasize the under God part. We are only a current nation, a constitutional republic, because of God. If you're also resolved to be these three things, faithful or hopeful, faithful and prayerful, I hope you'll join us in praying for our country today. Under God, Greg DeRoche, President, CEO. Okay, there you have it. This is a different ballgame. I don't know that other revolutions, like America's revolution, were godly. Okay, they weren't, and therefore they failed. Our whole history, from the patriots being raised up for this purpose, in my humble opinion, all the way through to their efforts and to the revolution that we had under God, very unique from the start, and I submit to you that it'll be unique all the way through till the Savior Jesus Christ returns. And if you believe George Washington's vision, he even sees angels standing aside patriots defending America from ruin when the Savior returns. So there's a lot of hope, a lot of faith, and a lot of prayer that's unique to our nation that other historical realities have not had by any means to the degree we have, James.
Well, you're right about that, and we all should maintain hope. And I guess the whole purpose of this conversation for the better part of the last two segments was to let people know that things do change. And even in the pits of despair, number one, don't ever surrender to despair. It's a sin to despair. And so that's why Sam and I could talk with a little bit of upbeatness, if that's a word, in our voice and be a little more chipper than perhaps we should during these dark times. It's because we understand that. And the bad times don't last forever. I mean, it's not a straight line that history moves in. It does ebb and flow. So anyway,
we'll see. As a people do have an influence on where we go. If we don't become apathetic, if we don't become dependent, if we don't become socialist and communist, if we don't allow tyranny to reign, we can change this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you an example. Trump's farewell address. The movement we started is only just beginning, and Patty alluded to that last hour as well, but here's the next part that I find interesting. Trump has reportedly discussed the idea of creating a new political party, a third party. The name of the party would be the Patriot Party, says the Wall Street Journal. Now, will it just rise and fall like the Reform Party? Don't know. But if anybody could create a third party, it would be Donald. James?
Well, I have read that, and of course, in a vacuum, that seems appealing, but I guess anything to do with Trump has to, you have to consider, if he couldn't do more as the president of the United States, what's he going to be able to do as a private citizen or as a commentator or as even somebody who's heading up his own party? Now, he could certainly destroy the Republican Party. And I think there would be great tangible value in that, because obviously for the last many, many decades, we've only continued to have defeat after defeat. So it is time for something new and to quit holding out hope that the Republicans will actually oppose the people on the other side of the aisle to an extent that they start delivering tangible victories for us. So if a third party did nothing more than completely finish burying the Republican Party, it would be worth it. But again, with Trump, though, I say, if he couldn't do more for the country as president, what's he going to be able to do now? And you also have to wonder, Sam, how much media coverage will he get going forward? We know he's already been banned from Twitter and Facebook and all of his other favorite microphones and megaphones, but how much does the establishment press, the regime press, cover Trump now that he's just a private citizen?
They ignore him.
And if they don't cover him, how can he affect any change?
Well, if they ignore him, the question is, does he create his own media apparatus? And are there enough Americans that will start to turn to it? I mean, if you were to consolidate Newsmax, the OWN radio group or the OWN group, and several other, Breitbart and everything else, you could instantly create a media powerhouse if you had real money in a second. That might give them a run for their money. But Trump's farewell address, the movement we started has just begun. What does he mean? Is there really Trump in the future, or is he rendered irrelevant? That's the real question. Now, Biden's taken over today in how long?
As we sit here now.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money, And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, President Trump, I'll still call him that at least for the next little over an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, will Trump be rendered irrelevant, or is he just getting started as he claimed in his farewell address? Now, some say Trump will create a third party. Will Trump really create a third party, or will he be rendered irrelevant? And then I mentioned, the media won't cover him, right, James? But yet, what if he creates his own media apparatus where he consolidates and or buys several of these news services, and instantly he could create a media powerhouse? And I submit to you, the only way he will stay relevant is if he does that. And we've been begging him to start a media company for more than four years now. Yeah. So if he doesn't do that, he will be irrelevant. If he does, he may not be irrelevant. And if he literally had a huge media apparatus and he ran things from arm's length, he could kick off a third party. Ross Perot did it and got, 19% of the vote? So, you know what? It is doable by somebody with money and fame, especially if they make the right moves in the media in such a way that it's almost impossible to block them out. Time will tell, but will that be the narrative? What do you see, James?
Well, with regards to third party, Sam, not much It wasn't too far removed from Ross Perot that George Wallace ran on a third-party ticket in the 60s and actually won several states. Perot never won a state, got 90% of the vote, but never won a state. Wallace ran third-party. So there's examples of that being successful in recent, relatively modern history.
Well, and if you go back far enough, the Republicans used to be a third party. Let's be very clear.
Oh, that's right, too. Going back, obviously much further. But yes. I read an article. This is what I wanted to say before the break. I read an article, I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal. It could have been one of the other organ mouthpieces. I mean, they have different names, but they all say the same thing. But this was actually an informed article. And it was very informed, very technical. And I'm not saying I agree with their politics or anything, but this particular article was a nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes article that explained the situation and the trouble Trump would have in building this media empire. Because you got to understand, whether it's running for office, building a political party, or building a media empire, you have to be platformed. If you're building a party, you've got to have ballot access. If you are building a media empire, you're going to have to be run. And we're seeing now increasing examples of people just being completely blown off the internet. Okay, if their agenda doesn't fit with the status quo. And the article that I read made mention of the fact that if Trump were to try to build a network as we know it to rival, say, Fox, well, you've still got just a handful of entities like Time Warner and Verizon, and there was one or two others that control the cable networks. All right, so are they going to platform Trump? Are they going to give him a channel that we can get through the different various providers, DirecTV, Dish Network, cable, whatever?
Yes, they will. You want to know why?
Well, I'm skeptical about that because you've got the whole thing about, he's a domestic terrorist now.
Yeah, but you guys think Trump's an outsider. I maintain he's an insider, and he always has been.
Okay, I mean, I'm willing to consider that. I'm willing to at least, obviously with regards to the amount he's able to give.
If you listen to the Patriots, Trump's completely done and the country's a tyranny. I'm rejecting that narrative and telling you that God's in charge and Trump has more insider power than you think. And as soon as they don't have a threat of Donald doing anything goofy, to drain the swamp, they'll back off Trump just like he backed off them. The reason he didn't lock up Hillary is because now he won't be locked up either. Got it? That's how the inside works. It always has worked that way.
So, all right, now that's an interesting question. I'm glad that was actually brought up here just in the waning minutes of this last show on this network before Trump is no longer the president. You do not think that they will go after him any harder than he went after Hillary or any other?
No, I think they'll go after him a lot harder for political theater, but they won't do anything.
Do you think that they'll ban him from
seeking office? Let me give you an example. They said that Trump was a terrorist and that he led the insurrection against the Capitol. And then they came back and said, well, we're backing off that phrase. We can't even investigate Trump because there's nothing there. They admitted it.
Okay, but now they can, with no cause at all, ban him from seeking office again.
I don't think so. See, I don't even think that they can have the Senate vote on somebody who's not even in office. All the power the Constitution gives the Senate is to say, hey, you can't run for office anymore, and you are going to leave office. If the Senate votes to impeach or finalizes the impeachment, in other words, tries the impeachment, all they can do is kick him out of office. They don't have any more authority.
Well, you're talking about constitutionally. Constitutionally speaking, that's all they can do, but when has that ever stopped them?
Well, they'll back off because they have no choice. And it all depends on how Trump behaves in the meantime. But I can bet you that Trump, what do you think? Trump's going to jail?
I don't think he's going to jail. I wouldn't think it is beyond the realm of possibility that the Senate will vote to where
he can't run for office anymore. So what? He's almost 80 years old. Who cares? Doesn't make any difference. Donald Jr. can run again. So can Ivanka. So can, okay, so they don't care about any of that kind of stuff. This is where we get all in this trap where we kind of think, oh, man, they're going to shut down the Donald. They're not shutting down the Donald. Let me prove it to you. They said Donald can't even go to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, that's right. He's not supposed to be able to live there except for a certain number
of
days.
Okay, but hold on now. They just let Air Force One fly him there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all I'm telling you, buddy, is this is full of baloney and twists and turns more than the roller coaster at Magic Mountain, okay? But I'm telling you right now, Biden is going to sign a dozen of executive orders on first day. Among day one in office executive orders will be to reverse Trump's travel ban and join the Paris Agreement. Okay, that's going to happen. Now that Donald's literally walked away peacefully and capitulated, they're not going after him. Now, if he were not to capitulate and not to transfer power peacefully and all those kind of things, they would be after Donald. But he knows just how hard to push. And he knows what's in store for him. And if you believe the mainstream press, if you believe the Patriots, Donald's going to be broke and penniless and knocking on your door for a potato to eat tonight by dinner. It's a lie.
Well, I do believe that Trump will send more fundraising emails to build his presidential library and to fund whatever endeavor he may cook up, whether it's a third party or a media or whatever. But, you know, he has been banned by payment processors. He has been banned by banks. Now, of course, that could be restored and maybe just theater and all that could be restored later in time. But as of right now, he's certainly getting the treatment afforded to his supporters.
Yeah, and it's serving very, very, very well for him to remain relevant, isn't it?
Well, again, we'll see how relevant he remains after, you know, a couple of weeks pass and how much the media will give him a microphone to continue to advance his
opinions. I don't think they'll give him a microphone. I think they'll have to create his own. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball. The goal is not to argue about it. The goal is to explore what we think might happen and to keep an eye on the ball for you. While Biden is signing a dozen executive orders today, Trump is going back to Mar-a-Lago. But the Biden plan also is to give 11 million a path to U.S. citizenship. Meanwhile, thousands are marching in a caravan towards the United States this very second. The U.S., well, they're saying that these migrants are demanding that the Biden administration honor its commitments, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of that, James?
Yeah, honor its commitments to subvert the laws of the United States. I'm pretty sure that they can count on them to do that. And that's another thing. I mean, you won't even have to have Trump destroy the Republican Party by happenstance or otherwise. If you grant citizenship or voting rights to 11 million currently illegal aliens, that's straight ticket Democratic voters. I mean, we saw how quickly these states are turning, like we saw in Georgia. Texas hangs by a thread. The Republican Party will probably be done in no matter what happens if Biden is able to do these things. And he will be able to do these things because they control all the branches of government.
So not only are thousands marching in the caravan to the U.S., not only are they demanding the Biden administration keep its promises or honor its commitments, but it turns out these violent immigrants are already clashing with border security officers. They already ran over a country's defenses on their way here. It's getting worse by the second. And now we see dumped Sidney Powell releases her Kraken lawsuit less than 24 hours before the Biden inauguration, writes Joe Kovacs. A lawyer, Sidney Powell, voluntarily dropped the lawsuit she previously described was biblical, alleging votes cast for Donald Trump and switched to Biden was criminal. And now she's magically dropped it, James.
Yeah, well, she released the Kraken, all right. She let it right off the hook and back into the ocean. You know, whatever she had obviously wasn't there. But or if it was, she was scared off or just was joking the whole time. But that's another thing to consider is that so all these Trump surrogates, I mean, a lot of them stuck their necks out and got it cut clean off their shoulders. You had Sidney Powell now being sued by Dominion Voting apparatus for $1.3 billion. I guess 1.4 was too much, but 1.2 didn't quite satisfy their pain and suffering. And then you've got, of course, the MyPillow guy, who has been a big Trump supporter. He's being disenfranchised. All the outlets that are carrying MyPillows are no longer going to be carrying them. So a lot of people who went to bat for the president,
and Clinton and Pelosi are floating a conspiracy theory that Trump and Putin worked together for the Capitol riots, right?
You know, I don't. Maybe nothing.
I'm not saying that's
true.
I don't
know how it would benefit Putin. I probably have more faith in Putin than I do Trump, or at least I have more faith in Putin being what he appears to be. Let me put it that way. Than Trump being what we hoped he was.
Okay, the mob was fed lies. McConnell says Trump provoked Capitol riot. So they're literally going after the Trumpster like no other. And the question is, are they really going to keep that up? And is he going to jail?
Again, I don't think he's going to go to jail, but I think he's going to be a political outcast. I mean, he certainly could, but I read his exact transcript. I mean, of course, it's like Rush Limbaugh said. And I know we're down to the last minute, but if Trump had actually said "do this," the media would be playing over and over and over. He never said it. I mean, they are saying it's because of this. If you look at it from this angle, and that's why it happened. But all Trump said was peacefully go down there and peacefully make your voices heard. He never told anybody to storm it or kidnap senators or do any of the things the media said. He just didn't do it. It's your interpretation of the words, but it was just basic political rhetoric, as far as I saw.
Well,
but it's all
Spike
over now,
Lee,
but the shouting.
Spike Lee, listen to this, literally says, compares Trump voters to Nazis and slave owners.
Yeah,
American,
I mean, we've been
update,
getting it
right?
for years, racist, white supremacists, this, that, and the other. Now it's, you know, Nazis and slave owners, it's domestic terrorists, it's anything and everything. Whatever they can do to make you radioactive, make you back down, to punish you, they're going to call you that, and it's anything goes now.
And if you back down, they'll permit you to exist for a little longer.
That's
all right, ladies and gentlemen.
Choice.
Check this out. The NRA now files for bankruptcy in New York, seeking to leave New York and reincorporate in Texas. So what you're seeing is movement, ladies and gentlemen. And eventually what you're going to see is the great divide among the states. The red and blue will divide. Eventually it'll be about Jesus Christ. In the meantime, though, you're going to see some very turbulent times, to say the least. It will not be fun. It will not be pretty. But there will be somewhat of an ebb and flow. What they'll do is back away and play nice guy and create more socialism. But eventually they'll pull the plug on socialism and it'll be a communist regime. It's something that we've got to fight. And if enough of us turn to our God, we can hold it off long enough until the Savior comes. If enough of us do not fight and stand for Christianity, then it will be a situation where we have very dark times before the Savior comes. But make no mistake, there will be a contingent of God-fearing Americans who understand their godly heritage and who will be prepared to meet the Savior. Make no mistake about it, this broadcast is to help find and prepare those who will be involved in the great peaceful solution as we welcome our Savior Jesus Christ back to the earth. It's a coming, folks. I have confidence and faith and hope in that reality, and I'll do all that I can to remain peaceful in the meantime, encouraging my children and grandchildren to do the same. God save the Republic.